Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
YMCA, for example, was originally planned to go on Parcel 8 by the stadium. It's a good YMCA, like many, but it could have been a world-class YMCA. The message from elected officials at the time was that Parcel 8 was too valuable for a Y, and it wasn't the best use argument. Mayor Riley, Charleston, said at CivicCon the best land should be for the citizens.
You know, when I first heard him say that, I'm like, we haven't had a Mayor Riley here. Charleston. Anyway, Quinn Studer at the CRA, that's the Community Redevelopment Agency, meeting on Monday. This was the big, long meeting where they talked about the Baptist demolition and also the Reimagined Palafox project, or I guess we're now calling New Palafox, or maybe next week we'll have a different name for it. Anyway, you know, Quinn, obviously, major philanthropist, major developer, builder here in town. He was, you know, very involved in the Community Maritime Park project, obviously Wahoo Stadium, the building that's there now. And what he was saying is, first of all, you know, in talking about the New Palafox project, he was saying, look, remember the Community Maritime Park almost didn't happen. That was really close. There are still some people to this day that wish it hadn't happened. There's arguments for why they think that, by the way. That's not a stupid argument. It's just, you know, people differ. Even, you know, in Pensacola, we always argue about everything we do. There's a lot of people who are going to be against something no matter how good it is, and not all things are good. And, you know, even after it gets done, there's a lot of kind of accumulated resentment over decisions that didn't go our way. For just across the board, this is how, you know, kind of small town politics works. And we're a small town, even though we're a bigger town than most small towns, we're kind of still have that kind of small town mindset, which is fine. It's good. It's what makes us what we are. But the Community Maritime Park almost didn't happen. And he says, you know, the problem is that if it hadn't happened, you wouldn't miss it because it was a thing you didn't experience. And he says that's the kind of the same way, like the YMCA that, you know, people downtown really, really, really enjoy, and other people. It's almost, that was that Community Maritime Park. That was the original plan. And, you know, the one we got's good. The one we had intended was going to be great. But they said that's not the best and highest use of that parcel at Community Maritime Park. Same thing for the Center for Entrepreneurship.
Rishi and I also offered to build a $22 million Center for Entrepreneurship on two of the parcels. A one-stop shop for entrepreneurs, startups, and UWF students interested in innovation. It followed all CMP protocols, then elected officials changed the rules. We walked away. An attorney was hired. The council voted revised term limits. They felt good about the new leases, but numerous investors said the new terms would prevent future investments. So far, they've been right. Parcel 5 may see development in 2026, but no one misses the Y in Parcel 8. The Center for Entrepreneurship, because they never happen. I hope that's not the case with Palafox.
They were just ideas that never came to be. You know, like, had Bruce Beach not been done, it would have just been an idea that didn't come to be. Just like if Southtown hadn't been done, it just would have been an idea that didn't come to be. And all you would have thought was, man, that's a big, ugly, gray building where they used to make newspapers, and that's all there is to it. You know, my interpretation of what he's getting at is that a lot of these big projects, you've got to have a vision for it, and you've got to really persist, and you've got to, you know, come up against the people who are going to naysay it. And eventually, if you win, you get the thing, and everybody's like, man, that's awesome. And if you don't, then nobody cares because it just didn't happen. And he's saying that about the Palafox project, that this is a really good thing, although he acknowledges there are pieces of it that he's not super fond of. The roundabout look that's not roundabouts. You know, it's kind of funny. The intersections are square, but they have circles in the middle in the pavement. It's designed to look visually a little bit confusing, frankly, so that when you get there, you kind of slow down is the point of that. But more to the point, there were lots of people who spoke in this meeting. I did not watch the whole three-hour meeting. I mean, you know me, I watch a lot of meetings, and I have to draw limits for myself at which meetings I won't watch. And so far, I do not watch CRA meetings, even though I know a lot happens in them. I just decide, That's my line. Because if I had in a CRA, oh my goodness, how much extra time I'd be spending with Milton, with with Pensacola, everybody. Anyway, so, but Quint says, and this is more the reason I wanted to bring him up today, because this is the issue of the week. Even though it's maybe a little outside of, you know, it's not a drag show, which is also the issue of the week. And it's not the government shutdown, which is also the issue of the week, which is, I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues going on right now. But the question of getting Palafox done or not done, I mean, the vote is tomorrow night. You know, the big vote, the real vote. Okay, they did the CRA vote. It passed 5-2. Who do you think was against it? I told you, Jen Brer, Charles Bear, you know, the Bear twins, Brer twins. I mean, they're not, but. You know, if there's going to be dissent, it's going to be from them, which is fine. I mean, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. I like both of them. I get along with both of them. I disagree with, well, one more than the other more often, but it doesn't matter. They represent a good voice on the council because they're a disagreeing voice. And it's good because then you get all your ideas out. I think every body ought to have at least one kind of regular dissenter. And it's you can usually point at everybody and say, there's your one or your two. You know, they're usually not the majority. Anyway, back to the point. Quint Studer, who is a obviously very invested in downtown. He's got, what, 280,000 square feet of that he owns downtown, I think, is what he said. But more to the point, he's offering to help people because the most compelling argument about this is the business owners who say they're going to be harmed or put out of business. The people who are upset about how it looks that doesn't faze me. I don't think anybody's objection to the stormwater improvements. Those are going to be massive. The ADA compliance stuff, the improvement for handicapped people or disabled people is going to be fantastic. Construction takes time. You know, it'll be annoying for drivers and shoppers, sure. Okay. But the real issue, if there's an issue that really matters to me anyway, it's that it's going to hurt the businesses. But he says, here's what I'm doing.
I read Councilman Barry commend you for talking to business owners. We didn't talk. So I'd like to share my perspective as a business owner who currently pays $1,032,000 in taxes.
Oofda, you could have called me. Councilman Bear.
On property downtown and has guaranteed $400,000 in loans for retailers downtown. So if they don't make it, I'm on the hook for over $4,000 in loans. Ironically, none of them lease from me, so I'm even helping other business owners with their leases.
He's got, and by the way, this is, as I understand it, these are interest-free loans. So he's just giving them money for now. Pay it back when you can. To $400,000 worth of loans to people that do not rent from him downtown. So that's a pretty big statement about what he thinks this project will mean. And also, you know, because if they go out, you know... What's he get, right? And he says, you know, one of his arguments, he says, is the ADA improvement, which is also a financial revenue stream because right now you have kind of the fight between sidewalk eaters, diners, and walkers. And widening of the sidewalks will improve that problem.
So where am I closing? It's the ADA. Today, the narrow sidewalks, you can't get through. So if we don't do this project, then I think we should stop sidewalk eating and sidewalk dining. Which is going to hurt us more financially. Because right now, when all these tables are out there, it's not ADA compliant and people can't get through. You can't have it both ways. So ADA is the number one reason I like this.
On top of stormwater, on top of everything else. But then this was the key moment in the meeting was when he said...
As a business owner with 228,000 square feet in downtown, I want all tenants and owners to do well. I'm confident they will. If any store owner... in this room or outside this room, is concerned about cash flow during construction, contact me. I will make sure that you have cash flow during your construction and during the construction and after. I've already told our tenants that they don't have to pay rent for the next year starting this month.
He's not charging rent from his tenants for a year starting next month. And if anybody else needs money, he'll help interest-free. We're done, right? I mean, you know, maybe the Bank of Quint Studer doesn't have enough money to, like, help everybody the full amount that they might lose. But that's been the big argument is the businesses are going to suffer. And he's putting his money where his mouth is or his money where his designs are. And he says, look, we're not charging our own people. And I think this would make sense even if Quint weren't making this ridiculous offer. But with this offer, I mean, I just think the conversations, we're done, aren't we? It's going to be good. The answers to all the questions exist. I'm going to go through a lot of the stuff from the meeting through the rest of the show today. I know yesterday we talked about this at this time as well. But this, to me, I thought, okay, so, you know, I mean, there was another 2 hours in the meeting after this, but, you know, for other topics as well. 437-1620, 437-1620. We might have the end of the government shutdown today. We might. You know, if enough congressmen can find planes to get back to D.C. No, seriously. Like one, I laugh because it seems a bit ironic, but it's also not ironic. It's just logistics. But if you shut the government down because you can't do politics right, and then you, and listen, I blame both sides. I'm not the Republican who says it's the Democrats' fault, and nor am I obviously a Democrat who blames Republicans. I think both sides screwed up. Both sides have to own this. You know, y'all made your decisions, and here we are. Okay, fine. So you shut down the government. Air traffic control suffers. The FAA is now throttling access to airports. What are we up to, 6% today? Is that right? I think it's supposed to get up to 10% by
Friday.
Friday. Okay.
Right. We're so up to 8%.
Like, oh, 8%.
Yeah, okay. That's today.
8% of flights have been canceled because of, you know, air traffic control issues. So that means that getting around is harder. Well, in order to make a vote happen today, you've got to get enough Republicans back to D.C. on planes, most of them. Most of them aren't going to drive or, you know, ride the train with Joe Biden. remember all that? Anyway, so they got to get back to D.C. But if they can't get back to D.C., they can't win the vote because, you know, they got to outnumber the Democrats. And right now the margin is 2. It's not a very big margin. And if you lose Massey or, I mean, I don't think you lose Marjorie Taylor Greene, although that's been an issue lately with her, you know, being in or out of the Trump group now. He says he's worried about her. She says nothing to worry about. So whatever. I think there was always something to worry about with her, but that's a totally different issue. The point is, if they can't all get back to D.C. because there's no planes or not enough planes or delays, then they can't make the vote. So they are I think they'll probably get there and make the vote. And if they don't, they'll delay the vote. But the point is, of course, that they'd be the victims of their own creation if they can't get back to D.C. to do their jobs. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, and the Ford is now in the Caribbean. You prefer Caribbean or Caribbean, John? What's your preference?
Caribbean.
Caribbean?
Yeah.
I don't really, you know. Caribbean was the Billy Ocean pronunciation.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
But whatever. I think it's weird that a lot of the headlines focus on the largest aircraft carrier that the United States has. Well, you know,
the voices.
They're all big. I mean, you know, it's an aircraft carrier. It's going to deliver, you know, 70, 80 fighters on station. I mean, you know, it's a big deal. It brought with it two Arleigh Burke class destroyers, and there's a sub, and we got a bunch of other things down there. And I mean, it's a big buildup. It is. And it's kind of like it's the story that everybody knows is massive, but nobody's really paying a lot of attention to it because we're all not quite sure what it means. You know, are we invading Venezuela? What's going to happen? Well, time will tell. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, the question I sometimes ask, and it's a probing question because... Okay, here's the question. Do you love your car? And if your answer is, yeah, cool, great, you know, ignore me for a minute. But if your answer is like, oh, I wish you wouldn't ask that. do you love yourself? You know, do you want yourself to be happy? Do you know that you deal with your car a lot? And if your car is not great, that it makes you less happy. And if your car is great, you can be more happy and enjoy it and not feel ashamed about the car and know that you can trust it. I mean, all the things that go with owning a car, right? Listen, you deserve a car that you love. So go to Frontier and get one. I don't mean to make it overly complicated, but, you know, you deserve a car that you enjoy. You spend a lot of time in your car, perhaps listening to me or driving around or eating or just whatever. You deserve a car you could enjoy and love. Frontier Motors is a great selection of them. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Viewer discretion advised.
John, you know how you have those albums? Maybe you don't, but I don't know. You have those albums of artists that were like sort of popular, but popular for one song or something.
Yes.
And then you bought the album. You're like, this is a great album. Why doesn't everybody love this? That's me for Big Pig. This album is great. But most people only know the one song.
Exactly.
and that's not even the best song on the album. Not even close. In fact, actually, I was super nerd out on music. The best song on this album was on the reverse side of this single on the 45. It's not even on the album.
It's on the B side?
It's on the B side of the 45. Yeah, it's called Hellbent Heaven. It's a great song.
Wow.
I'll have to pull it up and play it for you. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Supreme Court extending an order allowing the Trump administration to withhold full SNAP payments. Last week, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson issued an administrative stay that blocked a lower court order requiring the administration to make the payments. Tuesday's ruling extends that stay through Thursday. Of course, the spending bill that would reopen the federal government is set to be voted on likely today. The grandson of President John F. Kennedy says he's planning to run for a congressional seat in New York next year. 32-year-old Jack Schlossberg, the only son of Caroline Kennedy, will seek to replace retiring Jerry Nadler in his Manhattan district.
The kid in the Kennedy family that's going to capitalize on the Kennedy name legacy is named Schlossberg?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the family business isn't bootlegging anymore. All right. Go on, David.
And pop star Sabrina Carpenter set to star in and produce a musical movie inspired by Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. Universal Pictures has apparently signed a deal with Carpenter for the untitled production. It'll be her first attempt at a major studio picture.
Interesting. All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. All right. I said I would. So here goes. This is the Big Pig song. That's the B-side on the here. That's enough for now. Just a little tease. Just a little taste.
That's it.
Yeah. What? You want to hear
Come
more?
On.
Oh, fine. I promoted a bunch here. Let me skip a little bit. It doesn't really get super going for about 30 seconds, so I won't make you listen to too much of it. It just kind of builds like this. Bring in the horn. That's a fun song, man. I love that song. Anyway, I'm super nerding out on music this morning. It's my I never got to be a DJ, so here I get a talk show.
You know, that's what I was thinking the other day. I was like, you know what?
No, but it's true. Like, you know, obviously we try to make you laugh with little clips. And, you know, part of the music is just to have fun in the morning. It's because there's nothing I hate more than when I've lived in places where you try to listen to music in the morning and they got to put these people in there talking and ruining it. You know, I'm like, I want to hear the music. Well, my theory is I want to give you a little bit of music enough that you get like that part of it and not just be the, you know, this is news radio. You know, so you get a little bit of fun with the music and obviously the stuff that we cover as well. So I'm trying to hit you on all your points and, well, hopefully you have a good time in the morning. Sweet of you. That's it. What's that?
That's sweet of you.
Oh, yeah. I'm always trying to help people out. Let's see. 529 News Radio 92.3. We talked about this briefly the other day. David had mentioned that the Target has this new be a person rule or, you know, annoy you rule.
It's customer service rule.
Yeah, it's the 10-4 rule is what they're calling it. If you come within 10 feet of somebody, you're supposed to smile at them. And if you come within 4 feet of them, you're supposed to initiate conversation. Man, I don't need you talking to me. If I see your red shirt. If I need something, I'll talk to you. I don't need you forcibly imposing your presence upon me. And also, I know that all the young kids are like, oh, we are not doing this. Can I just text that customer? Would that be okay with
you? Yeah.
They're not interested.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The government shutdown reaches 43 days, but could it come to a close?
Early this morning, a House committee voted to advance the legislation to reopen the government, sending it to the House floor for a full vote. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says he still wants those Obamacare subsidies added to this bill. One of the many reasons to reopen the government to fully fund SNAP benefits, which have been delayed in more than a quarter of the states.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson reporting House Speaker Mike Johnson can only afford to lose one vote. Georgia Republican Congressman Buddy Carter earlier on Fox and Friends First.
I'm very confident that we have those votes. I'm very confident that we're going to get this passed.
Well, the world's largest warship, USS Gerald R. Ford, arrives in Latin American waters in response. Venezuela deploys military units. Its defense minister says people are ready to defend their homeland. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 36 degrees here in Pensacola. Well, Pensacola investigators are continuing the search for a suspect in the stabbing death of Dean Edward Chambers at a local office building earlier this week. Now, officials did release photos and videos of a suspect yesterday, and we'll have those up on the News Radio website here in just a few minutes. Chambers was found stabbed to death by an employee at the AA Top Shop on North Davis Highway. Chambers reportedly leased space from that business and was known to employees there. Now, police say the suspect may commute in either the West Fairfield Drive or Brownsville areas. If you have any information on that suspect,
call with anything, whatever helps. We just don't know. We're still trying to figure out the circumstances of this person's death.
That's PPD's Greg Gordon, and you can contact Pensacola Police Detective Robinson if you have any information on that suspect. Escambia County fire crews responded to a house fire on Tuesday. Firefighters responded to that home on Perdido Street near Old Corryfield Road, and that was around 5:45 on Tuesday night. Now, the good news is everybody that was in the home made it out safely. Officials have not yet determined the exact extent of the damage, but we'll keep you updated as we learn more about what caused that fire. Food pantries across the panhandle are struggling as the government shutdown continues on. Now, even if the House does pass a bill today, families could still be waiting for paychecks or benefits to resume for several weeks. That's where nonprofit Food Raising Friends is stepping in. They're delivering nearly 1,000 Thanksgiving bags to 26 schools across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, and they'll be delivering those today. They say that's enough food to feed 4,000 people for up to 6 days. They said they've seen requests jump dramatically this year from 700 bags to over 1,100. With SNAP benefits frozen for November and food costs on the rise, they say the need is growing. The group is asking for donations, they say especially canned chicken and vegetables, to start packing up more bags for Christmas. The University of West Florida mourning the loss of a softball player that died in a crash over the weekend. 19-year-old Chloe Krigal was killed on Sunday afternoon. Her car veered off I-10 in Gadsden County near Tallahassee and apparently hit a tree. Heavy rain and wet roads were reported in the area at the time. Krigal was a Suwannee County native. She just graduated from high school this last spring, where she was a softball star. Her former coach said she'd achieved her dreams and her goals, making it to college softball. Tragically, she didn't get to live them out. UWF says she was a beloved teammate who will be greatly missed. Well, another cold morning here across a lot of Florida today. The National Weather Service did have frost advisories and freeze warnings in effect overnight. Temperatures even below freezing in some areas. The National Weather Service is expecting everything to warm up here throughout the day, though, with highs climbing back up into normal ranges. It is 5:35. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Starting off with some cooler temperatures in the 40s. As you head into your afternoon, high near 71 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54. For your Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 74 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Going into Friday, sunny skies, high near 75. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 38 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies, and our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Swiss sneaker company On is boosting its full-year profit outlook for the third straight quarter after another 3 months of double-digit growth. Its running shoe business has done so well that On won't even offer a Black Friday discount. That's at a time when most of the sneaker industry is expected to roll out huge holiday promotions. We need more room to store energy. That's the word from UBS, which says there's likely to be a boom in demand for energy storage in the next 5 years. Massive AI data centers have created a need for a lot more power to keep all their tech going. But UBS says more storage is needed to smooth out the highs and lows of wind and solar power. On Wall Street, futures are higher after the Dow finished yesterday at a record high. It gained 559 points to close near 48,000. Still, it was a tale of two markets as big AI stocks fell on worries their values have surged too high. That's Your Money Now.
Open enrollment is here, and this year you can enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle-free this year by calling 850-477-5840. Again, that's 850-477-5840, and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation. Health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
Pensacola knows the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angel, vertical.
We feel the thunder. We look to the sky. But the stories behind the blue and gold, those are just as breathtaking. Were they ever known as the Blue Lancers? Did air show lore really include dogfights with Japanese Zeros? And what happened the day Fat Albert became a hero over open water? Join us for the History of the Blue Angels, a special series that climbs through the myths, the milestones, and the moments that made America's Flight Demonstration Squadron a legend. Weekdays at 6:15 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. Now through November 14th, presented by our partners at Dale's Marine Construction, your shoreline solution company, and Lambert's Moving Systems, moving the Gulf Coast forward for over 100 years. It's the History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15, right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen today at 10 on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much.
much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've got Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, with us here in studio. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm always having a good time. Except, of course, this week we have some really horrible things to talk about. But right. before we get there, because just want some other ones. I guess there was a stabbing, cutting last night between two homeless people. Is that right?
Well, we got a report on 1800 block of North Blue Angel. I guess Bobby J's Saloon. We got a report that a guy had been cut in the arm, and his description was a homeless guy cut him.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's,
so one
that's where
one
we're at. Now, I don't know if both of them were homeless or not, okay. But they were at least at one point inside or near and about this particular saloon.
Okay. And at this point, still looking for that other person?
Yeah, the description changed. It went from the clothing changed, and I'm really not sure what the description is.
Tall, thin
point.
Brunette became a short, stout blonde, and
yeah. Wait a second. On second thought, is this guy wasn't right. Wearing a blue shirt at all? He was wearing a dress.
Okay. Also, we had, and this was right after you and I had talked last week, I think, but we had the shooting that took place at the Whataburger parking lot on Pensacola Boulevard in Boone. Is that right?
Yeah, so one car backs in, is waiting for an order.
Into a parking space
over there by the Whataburger. And then another car pulls in nearby. Two people get out and allegedly have a large amount of marijuana with them. And they approach the individual that was in the back seat of that backed-in car. They exchange words and also exchange gunfire. So two people were hit. Both of them with very serious injuries, and we did recover 2 pounds of marijuana, and both cars sped away into two different hospitals, and we are still investigating it, still trying to piece things together.
Okay, so, I mean, intended drug deal goes wrong, sideways, people get shot, and you're still trying to figure out exactly what happened, who's to blame, all that.
Well, I can tell you two people were injured, and 2 pounds of marijuana or so was recovered at the scene.
Okay.
And information after that is vague.
Okay. All right. There was another an arrest for somebody from a shooting that was back on Arlington Drive on October 25th. This is Olvin Adone Rojas. Is that right? You guys followed up on that?
Yeah, we have been looking for this individual. I actually don't have the cancellation, but I noticed that. He was an individual that we were looking for, and as I understand, he's in jail now.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then maybe at the lighter end, but still it's a issue you guys dealt with, somebody had taken some stolen credit cards and used them to buy food at Flounders and McGuire's.
Yeah, that's my understanding. A lot of food
yeah.
at Flounders and a lot of food at McGuire's. So they steal the cards or they fraudulently use the cards.
Yeah.
And they order a lot of food from these. They were living it up for a good period of time. Those places are good places to eat.
They are.
And unfortunately, they're using other people's money. Can't do that.
No, not allowed under the current rules in the United States of America.
Yeah.
just that.
There must be a law somewhere.
Right. Turning to the horrible big story of the week, and you and I both hate talking about this stuff, but this case is so awful. You guys responded because it's a fire, okay? And it's a fire at a mobile home, and two children wind up dying, 7 and 9, I think. And then you guys investigate, and the ME investigates, and tell us how we got to where we are.
Well, it started out a fire. We weren't the only ones, obviously, to respond. The Escambia County Fire and Rescue, mm-hmm. those guys do a great job. They put the fire out. So there's two adjacent trailers. One trailer is on fire. The fire department comes, puts it out. Then they find out, oh, no, there's two young children.
Yeah.
Ended up being, 8 and 10 or 7 and 10 years old. And now it's become a tragedy. Obviously, it was a fire, and now it is a situation where there's two children that have been burned to death as well. This is early stages of the investigation.
And this is on Friday.
Right, on the 7th. And then we also find out that this guy named John Henry Walston had escaped the fire, and he was suffering from some burns. He went to the hospital. Now we find out that there's another, I think a 12-year-old that had escaped that trailer also, went next door, knocked on the door to get his mother. Again, there's family members staying in both of these trailers. Mother tries to get inside the trailer. It's fully engulfed.
She's trying to rescue the kids.
She's trying to get in to see who was in there and try to help her kids. Ultimately, We work with the medical examiner's office, with the fire marshal's office, and then as bad as the tragedy was, we were able to ascertain that the children were killed not by the fire, but they were killed before the fire was set. So what we had discovered was this piece of work, John Henry Walston, who had assaulted at least one of the children, and then decided he would burn them. He was to kill them. So he killed them, stabbed them, and then he set fire to the trailer, and he got himself out. Luckily, the 12-year-old was able to escape on his own, even though he wasn't, with no help from this Walston character.
So the 12-year-old was also intended to be a victim, you think?
Right. There were three children and Walston and a dog inside the trailer when it was set fire. The two children were already stabbed, already killed, and then he saved himself. The dog wasn't able to save himself, obviously, nor were the two children. But there was a 12-year-old that was able to escape. So this, again, a tragedy turned into just an unimaginable act. You think you see stuff on TV, you read books, and you think, oh, who could do something like that? And then you realize that there are people in this world that are evil. There are people that are willing to do this, all of it, just willing to do all of it, from an assault to a stabbing to a fire to a saving yourself to all of this. It just makes you as bad as it gets.
And a friend of the family, this is, the kids were staying with him. Everybody knew, like, you know, the community. All of this comes as a total shock to them as well, in addition to the loss. Every form of betrayal you could imagine, every form of pain you could imagine. It's, I even think about it in terms of, you know, the firefighters who responded, the EMS who responded, your deputies who responded, the ME who does the investigation, and which is part of what they do, right, is to find out if an accident was an accident or if a suicide was not a suicide, you know, which that's also something they investigate, and to find out real cause of death. And for them to discover this and to be the first ones to have to encounter this reality, and a lot about mental health. We talk a lot about, you know, what your folks and what first responders deal with. It's sometimes the most awful things imaginable. And
you start to think of what goes through the mind of a firefighter. Your job is to put this fire out.
Yeah.
You put the fire out, and then you come upon a victim. What goes, you know, oh no. I mean,
right.
You're expecting to put the fire out, and I guess the first thing you do is you look for survivors, obviously trying to get people that might need help, and you realize that this is not just a fire. This is a fatality. Then you see a second child, and you realize this is a double fatality. And then at that point, everything else starts kicking in. We always, you know, how this happened, why this happened, because these things aren't, this certainly is not normal.
Right.
Certainly not right. And then, the medical examiner's office determined rather quickly that, these aren't fire injuries, although fire obviously injured the bodies, but that was post-death. And you try not to think about what they went through.
Yeah.
You know, you try not to, because I don't know.
As a parent, person, it's a lot.
The only thing we have is the fact that the community has kind of rallied around them. And the second thing is that the person that did this is going to be held accountable. That there's a picture of this guy. And every time I look at this picture, and I'm just thinking, you.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you're going to get yours.
Yeah.
You know,
I appreciated the video that you put out. In the end of your video, you basically said, I don't even know what to say. There's nothing to say. It's when you see something like that. And I mentioned this yesterday, that you think about how the act, horrible act harming these children, horrible act harming these families, horrible act harming the whole community, because we're all wounded by this. And then it poisons all of our relationships with all the people that we normally think we can trust with our kids, and all of the, everything about this is evil across the board. And
no one wants to see a child injured.
Right.
Right. And we're, you know, they're everyone's children, right? It takes a village and that sort of thing. And then again, when you think of what people may be going through, have gone through, it just brings the cruelty to the forefront. And I'm an optimist, right? I think, I think the best of people. I try to think the best of people, but there are times when I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes good thing I'm a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've told this before, but a really good friend of ours when we lived in Phoenix was a detective for Phoenix PD, worked on the child crimes unit. And he had to stop after several years because he had kids. And, you know, he just, I can't do this anymore, which I think of that all the time because I'm so close to you guys and thinking about what your officers go through and what the ME goes through and all of that. Just, again, anyway. On a completely different subject, we do have a parade today. It is Veterans Day, right?
Right, right. It is Veterans Day. I'm going to leave here, maybe don a jacket. It's a little cool down there.
Yeah, a little bit.
And members of the sheriff's office will participate in the downtown parade, but also the parade on Pensacola Beach, to just say thank you to the veterans.
How many veterans work for the sheriff's office?
You know, I don't have the exact number, but we love to
ballpark,
hire.
Ballpark? Quarter? Half?
Oh, I would say probably over a quarter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
somewhere between a quarter and a half. Now, I will tell you, it used to be more. And when I first started at the Pensacola Police Department, because I was young, almost all of the supervisors were former Vietnam era. In fact, I'm here because my dad was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there seemed to
Wait,
me
you're
like
a cop because your dad was a Vietnam vet?
I'm a what?
You're a cop because your dad was a vet?
No, I'm a cop because my dad wore the uniform, and I felt like that was a good, noble cause.
And he was
something
a vet.
Like
okay.
that, and he happened to be a veteran. That's why we were here.
Got it. Okay.
I was at that crossroads where should I join the military or should I join law enforcement? And it was one of those things where they both wore the uniform. They both were our jobs and occupations I could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed me at the police department more than, at least quicker than they needed me elsewhere.
And, of course, just for people who may not know, your history in the police department was you went into SWAT, so you went into the most military-esque element right. of law enforcement, and so, you know, certainly worked in that regard. You guys are having coffee with a cop Thursday?
Yes, at the Lucky Goat on North Davis.
Okay.
Now, I've not been there yet, but they delivered some coffee to us during one of our events that we've had a couple weeks ago. And while I'm not a connoisseur of coffee,
I was going to ask you, do you drink coffee?
It sure tasted good. You put a little cream and a lot of sugar in there. You can make a lot of things taste good with sweet and low.
Are you a sweet and low guy?
Whatever color it is.
What color do you put in yours? I'm curious.
I usually mix them because you know I'm
variety.
A little pink, a little blue.
I got you with the like the pink, good. White, and blue. You know, it's like the American flag ish sort of pouring
into
your coffee.
One of these is going to taste good.
Eventually, I'll get it to be drinkable. I love it. It's a quick thing, but it happens to be relevant because of the training that John and I got a chance to do out at the driver out of Brunson Field.
Right.
We were watching, and I know you've seen it because, you know, I talked briefly before the show, but this incident took place in Tampa. They were chasing this guy. They've got it on the infrared from the helicopter, and it's a horrible story because they wind up calling off the pursuit, and he still runs at a high speed, drunk apparently, into a bar, kills 4 people, wounds 17 more, runs away, has a gun. Like, there's a right. whole story involved in this. The part, and of course, it brings to mind the question of do you chase, do you not chase, and what speed and what's safe. The only thing that I noticed is when I was watching the video is, and I don't want to say how you do it, but I will say that how you don't do it is what it seemed like what they did was not a good pit technique. And I wondered if it was just the speed made it hard to do, or if, because you guys do training on this, maybe not every agency does specific training on this.
Right. I think that, you know, we see them on TV a lot, and you obviously experienced it. If you can get a little bit to the right, a little left of the bumper, you can spin. The idea is spin the car, put them in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's difficult to do, and I didn't know what the deputy knew or whatever the officer knew at that time, so I want to refrain from judging on what they're doing. I tell our people, if you can chase him, you can put him in a ditch and do that as quickly as you possibly can. Sometimes that means you're not bumper to bumper, or sometimes you have to and ram's a strong word. Sometimes you have to affect a stop, and it depends on what you're stopping them for. Typically speaking, traffic, we don't chase them. But you won't know until you turn the lights on.
Right.
And we turn the lights on, they take off. And like, okay, now what? So you turn the lights back off, and they keep on going. And, you know, tragedies like this can take place. I think that there is a level of personal responsibility here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bad guy there that his terrible actions caused the death of several people. And you said it was a gun. I don't know all the details about that. Why he had a gun, was that why he was running? Was he have a license? And that's the sad part, is sometimes these people that stop or that don't stop for traffic, it could be so simple. It could be a license violation. It could be even a DUI. And you need to stop or obviously tragedies can
And it
take
sounds
place.
Like in this case, it was based on some of the comments he made after the fact. It sounds like that's what was involved here. And by the way, I appreciate that because I probably earlier in the show, I was maybe a little bit too flippant about the cops didn't perform the pit right, you know, that, but to me, it highlights the value of the training that you guys do because you're equipping your officers to have the best chance in these very dangerous, volatile, quick circumstances to be able to accomplish the end result, which is keeping people safe and stopping the chase, which is that was the thing that was impressive to me is having gone through that. So Sheriff Chip Simmons, thank you as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the day. It's Veterans Day. Enjoy the parade.
You bet. Y'all take
care. Stay warm. Always. And of course, that was yesterday. So the parade was yesterday, not today. Yesterday was Veterans Day. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you a senior ready to downsize but not ready for assisted living? Discover the lifestyle you deserve at Tranquil Villas. This vibrant, independent senior community offers spacious, affordable apartments designed for comfort and convenience. Enjoy clubs, luncheons, walking trails, and community gatherings. It's perfect for making new friends and staying active. You'll find everything you need to live your best life. Why not schedule a tour today? Go to seniorvillas.net. That's seniorvillas.net.
Tranquil Villas, where comfort meets community.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No, I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool, and I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got.
And you can't just stay home, so it doesn't matter which way you go. And now all day, the radio's been playing the same song.
Good morning, 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us this Wednesday morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom at 40 degrees. Go ahead, David. What you got?
Well, good.
I mean, not that you are 40 degrees, but, you know, outside is 40 degrees.
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
All right, go on.
Well, the government shutdown, a little bit closer to ending overnight. The House Rules Committee voting to advance a government funding deal. Of course, it's already passed the Senate. It now heads to the House, where a vote is expected today. Charlotte, North Carolina might be the next target for Border Patrol agents. They're expected to leave Chicago soon, where they've been conducting raids and immigration crackdowns as part of Operation Midway Blitz. Local law enforcement in Charlotte says they haven't heard any specific word of potential operations as of yet. Andrew, I know you're a lover of fine art.
Actually, yeah.
Got lots of very nice paintings probably in your home. And
I have enough.
You'd like to add a few more probably.
I have a Dolly. I have some Monet. I mean, you know, reproductions. Okay. Well, one's a... Anyway, go ahead.
It's just a couple of Van Gogh and that type of thing.
No,
well,
I don't like Van Gogh. He's overrated.
Okay. All right. Well,
I have opinions too, surprisingly.
I'm not a Van Gogh guy either, but this artist here, I am a fan of. The late Bob Ross apparently has some paintings coming up for auction. And they're expected to go for around $600,000. paintings by Bob Ross are being auctioned off to raise money for public TV stations that have been hit by federal funding cuts.
I would have thought that the whole point was that you could not need to buy one because you would learn how to make them for yourself.
Just put a little tree over here and a little, just a little mountain in the background.
I don't really understand this concept. We're selling art by the guy whose whole purpose in life was to teach other people how they didn't have to buy art because they could make it for themselves. Am I missing something? The irony is dripping. Local.